You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody. Saturday evening, November the 8th. I'm James Edwards. He's Keith Alexander the Great, and this is the second hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool. You know, Keith, we continue to be inundated with emails from those who joined us last month in Memphis at the historic 10-year anniversary celebration. One gentleman who was there actually wrote an article. I won't read the whole thing, but I'm going to read excerpts from it because it was sensational, and it was posted to our website yesterday. It was written by Scott Terry, and he writes this. Oh, the dim oppression of modernity, slouching over me like an impish blanket to dampen out the fumes of my smoldering Saxon wrath. Even the weather, uncharacteristically gloomy for a Carolina fall, was conspiring with the devil, intent on sinking my spirits with all its cool drizzle and melancholy breezes. But then my cell phone rang. I was at the library of my college, working on a paper about how evil European Christian males are. They can't be otherwise if I wanted to get an A. But as I said, my phone rang. It was none other than the great radio personality James Edwards on the other end. His voice roused me from the humdrum mood of liberaldom, and that smoldering Saxon wrath I mentioned blazed anew. Edwards had sounded the rallying cry. Come to Memphis, he said to me. The cesspool is celebrating its 10th anniversary, and I want you there. Then Rohan will answer, Terry writes. I was going to Memphis, though hell should bar the way. James had called me personally, and I aimed to be there. Weeks later, I hopped in the car and made the trek through the lowlands of Carolina. The cesspool event, it should be said, was the first ever that I'd felt completely at home in. Edwards managed the right mixture of faith and folk and managed it very well. Dinner was amazing. The cilantro and pork mixed with rice and sweet potato casserole. My mouth is still watering. Those cesspool guys know how to party. I'll give them that. I won't recount or summarize the speakers at the event. All I'll say is that each were inspiring. I don't want to belabor a point, but I have to stress how perfectly balanced this event was. Good friends, good people, good speakers. So much of the advocacy for our people is morbid, profanity-laden pessimism, not so in the cesspool. Edwards' work ignites in me the same hope I feel when looking at a sunset or when looking out over the Appalachians. His show, and this event in particular, left me feeling inspired and uplifted. I remembered that this is my father's world, the rocks and seas, the skies and trees, all of it. There's not a square inch whereupon he does not cry, mine. It's time that an organization remembered that. Thank God for the political cesspool. And certainly what Scott Terry's writing here, Keith, is that what we do in blending together faith and folk, as he quite rightly mentioned, is something that really no other organization does, and it comes across in our work on the air and in person as well. And he, as everyone that I talk to has mentioned, best event ever. But those people made it possible.
Well, to put it in a nutshell, what we do is we deal with race and we deal with faith. Our faith is a Christian faith. It's unapologetic. It animates and permeates everything that we do. Also, race is something that we consider to be of foremost importance. Now, this is not racial negativity towards other races. It's racial positiveness about our own race and our own people and our own ethnicities. And that's the mixture that so many people found particularly compelling about our birthday celebration. We had one, a very Christian message that basically permeated everything that was done that weekend. Secondly, we are very proud of our Southern Confederate heritage, and we don't try to disguise it. We don't try to minimize it. We proclaim it and show genuine pride in it, but it's not done in the derogation of any other group. And see, this is what we heard time and again from people, that this mixture, it's like coming up with the right chili recipe. You know, we finally came up with the right chili recipe. I've been to all of these other groups. I've had people that were anti-Christian. We've had people that were anti-South or people that thought that regional differences need to be downplayed and we have to focus on race to the detriment of ethnicity or regionalism. Not at all. That's not what we're about. We think we're proud of every last part of our identity. And we appealed to people. We had people from all over the Western Hemisphere that came here, and none of these people felt offended or felt left out.
Well, Scott Terry is a Southerner, Keith. Here is a letter that came in from an attendee at our conference who hails from the state of Vermont. He writes, "Dear James, I just wanted to send you a brief letter to thank you for the invitation to your 10th anniversary celebration. I was a little leery about going since I expected that there would be a strong Southern nationalist flavor, but I was made to feel welcome. I should have expected no less from Southerners. It was refreshing to be around so many decent folks whose minds haven't been poisoned by America's Jewish-dominated culture. One of the reasons I continue to listen to the Political Cesspool is to hear Keith's uncensored commentaries on that very subject. I wish you continued success to you and your show, to the hosting staff, and to all those who make the show possible. Meeting you all has made me hope that I can become more active in the movement. I, of course, also want to congratulate you on the birth of your son." That comes from a gentleman, Nathan from Vermont, big fan of yours, Keith, and we thank Nathan for coming all the way down from the Green Mountain State.
We had people from Western Canada, Eastern Canada. We had people from the West Coast. We had people even from Oregon. We were talking about how crazy a constitutional amendment proposed on the ballot in Oregon was recently, but that doesn't mean that everybody there is crazy. In fact, I suspect that most of the people in most of the geographic area that we call Oregon are more attuned to us than they would be the chicken woman who was bemoaning the fate of Snow in one of our earlier segments, Snow being a chicken. See, let me say this while we're at it. Charlie LaDuff's little segment that Peter Scoop Stanton was expounding on last hour brought up something that really touches a nerve with me as a lawyer. This nut job that is squatting on someone else's property, this transgendered fool, who thinks he has a right to take and appropriate for herself other people's property, is living on Social Security disability. Scoop said that firemen and policemen in Detroit can't collect their pensions, but this woman can live off of the government on Social Security disability. Well, one distinction is the firemen and policemen live off of local government money, and local government has gone to hell in a handbasket in Detroit because of the demographics of Detroit. More than anything else, that is what ails Detroit. On the other hand, Social Security is a federal program, and they haven't been able to ruin that yet. But you can see that nutty people get Social Security disability. In fact, they get it precisely by being nutty. And who are the nutty people? Liberalism is a mental disorder. As you see from her and Snow's advocate, these people are nutty enough to get Social Security disability because they're liberal.
We'll be right back. Thank you, Keith.
We fought. We learned. We struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
As much fun as we have on the show, I'm telling you, folks, we have a lot more fun in the commercial breaks. If only you could all be flies on our wall here at the palatial studios of our flagship radio station. Okay. Oh, I didn't mention this. I also want to thank Kyle from Conway, Massachusetts, fan of the Political Cesspool, longtime listener. He was writing in congratulating me on the birth of my son. He, too, had a son recently. Another great name. He named his son Victor. Now, Victor, now that's a victorious, that victory. That is, you know,
the
names
winner.
Are important. The winner, Henry. Henry means, you know, ruler of the home ruler. Anyway, it made me think of this, and I've actually posted a picture of it on the website this week. The website, if you haven't been to thepoliticalcesspool.org this week, you need to go. A lot of good stories there this week. There's going to be even more next week. The website's just really been on fire. I think there's been a good assortment of stories there. ThePoliticalCesspool.org. And I've been sharing family pictures too. Celebrating the birth of my son, I've self-indulged a little bit and wanted to put that up there. I want everybody to be part of it because we're all family. But there's nothing quite like checking into the hospital for the birth of your son. And the first thing you see when you walk in the hospital door... Keeps looking at the picture right now. I took this picture on my iPhone and then emailed it to myself so I could post it to the website. But there's this big yellow piece of paper on the door of the hospital right as you walk into the labor and delivery ward. And it says, notice, for your safety, in all capital letters, every person entering labor and delivery will be screened for Ebola. #diversity is our greatest strength. The screening, thankfully, wasn't much of a screening. It consisted of a single question. They asked us if we had traveled out of the country in the past month. We answered no, and we were declared to be Ebola-free, and we're even giving a nice orange sticker that said no Ebola. I guess for fear of the R-word, Keith, the nurse couldn't ask us specifically if we had been to Africa or not, you know, a place where Ebola actually exists. But thankfully, we survived the hospital without getting Ebola. And we've got a fine new addition to the Edwards home here. Healthy and happy, Henry is. train up a child in the way it should go, and when he's old, he will
and
not
Henry
depart.
Is in charge of this household, let me tell you. He's living up to his name already.
That's right. He's in charge of my sleep right now, that's for sure. But anyway, Ebola screening in Memphis, Keith. I guess we can be thankful we got
Let me direct this. Let me take this one head on, okay? Grab the bull by the horns. You know, they are right to go after white people when basically Ebola is an African disease, sub-Saharan African disease, a black person's disease, because quite frankly, most of the people that would come to the United States from sub-Saharan Africa are white people. They are guilty white liberal fools who expose themselves and the rest of us to the modern version of the black plague because of their guilt-ridden white liberal status. It's Doctors Without Borders and people like this. They expect to be able to go over there, treat one of the most dangerous diseases known in the history of mankind, and we're expected to let them come in without any screening or quarantine. It's just another way of showing how liberal we are and how we are so liberal we're willing to die for liberalism. You may be willing to die for liberalism. I'm not. Sorry. Quarantine those people. Keep them over there.
Well, Keith, keeping them over there is one thing. We got more than enough right here.
Maybe we can talk that woman who was the advocate of snow, the chicken who was about to be executed, to go over there to Sierra Leone or Liberia to treat Ebola patients.
That's right.
As well as Arthur Lynn Jr. from Detroit. That's what we really need to do. We need to, like the Pied Piper, entice them all to go over to Sierra Leone and Liberia.
I wish I had that flute that he had that could control things like that. Anyway, I got this post on black culture, Keith, at the website this week. The black community has been on a decline, as we know, ever since the so-called civil rights era. The election of Barack Obama, whom liberals said would save black youth and would enter into a post-racial America, seems to have triggered a free-fall avalanche. Each year, the prevailing culture of the black community
gets worse and worse.
It gets worse and worse. They seem to become more and more like a gangster rap video. There appears to be fewer and fewer blacks who are even trying to stop the continued decline. Now, I've got this video here that occurred in Memphis. This is at an apartment complex that when you take Keith Alexander's famed tour of Memphis and he takes you through the ghetto to show you exactly what multiculturalism
can... When I came here tonight, I went through this very neighborhood.
There it is. It's a neighborhood that he drives through to show you what multiculturalism can do to a formerly first world city. You've got like 100 blacks here just rioting in the middle of the day for nothing. You got
the
video here.
Walloping the crap out of each other.
Beating each other up, women and men alike, fighting one another. There appears to only be one person in the video, an elderly woman in a wheelchair, that is even attempting to break up the fighting. 23-year-old Lupecia Thomas was arrested for triggering the mob when she allegedly hit another girl from behind, injuring her and her 7-year-old son. The results were predictable. Everybody that lived in the apartments apparently came out to get into the free-for-all.
Get part of the fun. It's like Cyndi Lauper's song, Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Well, the men were fighting the women, too.
Well, that's what I
mean.
Yeah, and apparently
community.
They have fun. Yeah, it's non-discrimination policy over there in Binghamton. girls just want to have fun, and they have fun by inflicting pain upon other people. It used to be called crime. I don't know what they call it nowadays.
It's not crime anymore, Keith. But in this instance, they were doing it to one another, which is typically the case with black violence. It's typically interracial, or not interracial, rather, but what's in the same race.
Yeah.
In the meantime, though, you know.
That's just because integration has failed. See, we don't have enough white people living here amongst these people. If they did, then they would be getting walloped instead of other black people. And, of course, we should feel guilty about that if you listen to liberals.
And there's no doubt, though, that black-on-white violence is certainly not an instance that's few and far between. We see instances of it every single day. Colin Flaherty can't even track them because they happen so frequently all across the country. But we talked recently on this show about the hate crime, a big mob of black degenerates came out of a CC's Pizza and attacked this young white Kroger worker, the Kroger employee that was trying to collect baskets in the parking lot of the grocery store. About 100 blacks teamed up on this kid, were dribbling 20-pound pumpkins off of his head. Very lucky they didn't kill him after he was knocked unconscious.
In the fetal position on
the
ground.
Could you imagine if it had been a mob of 100 whites doing that to a black youngster?
A young black kid
that was trying to work for minimum wage at a grocery store? You think you might have heard about that? Very little press was given to it, even in Memphis. Very little local press. Certainly no national press. Well, anyway, they had their day in court. Remember, dozens of black kids teaming up on this unconscious white kid that they targeted only because he was white. They went to court and received 10 hours of community service to be served over the course of a 10-month period. Keith, that's a comical sentence that can't even be called a slap on the wrist.
Well, there's an understory about all of this that needs to be brought to light, okay? The judge who made this decision was a white liberal guy that just got elected juvenile court judge in Memphis named Dan Michael. Quite frankly, he had a black opponent who was probably have been a better choice because that black opponent, his name is Tariq Sugarman, at least is an independent thinker. He doesn't follow the tried and true path of political correctness like Michael does. That's one thing. Two, and this is very important, and we need to all pay attention to this. The juvenile court in Memphis is under a consent order that they were coerced into getting involved in because the Obama, Eric Holder Justice Department put them under it saying that they were too harsh on black teenage boys. So consequently, you can't treat them as criminals they are. You have to treat them like they're little kids who have been chewing gum in class.
We're going to talk more about this when we come back.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips.
There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
I'm going to get to a caller from New Orleans in just a second. I want to wrap up this story. I mean, again, folks, imagine. And you would have to imagine the scenario that I'm about to present to you because it doesn't happen in real life. And I don't know if it ever has, but imagine a group of 100 or so white teenagers targeting a black kid in a parking lot, beating him unconscious, and then as he lay there in the fetal position, completely passed out, slamming 20-pound pumpkins off of his head as if they were basketballs. Now, imagine that happening. And then imagine those kids going to court. Number one, you would probably have heard about it long before they got to court. You didn't hear about the real-life example of this story because it dealt with the inverses. The races were reversed, as they always are in these situations. It was a group of blacks beating up a white kid. We talked about it on the political cesspool. If you lived here in Memphis, you might have caught it on the local news, but you had to be paying close attention. Well, those kids went to court. 10 hours of community service to be, rather 40 hours of community service to be served over 10 months. But here's the kicker, Keith. Here's what the attorney for the kids said.
The public defender. A black female public offender.
Now, how does the black female public defender view the opportunistic hate crime of blacks against a white kid in the Kroger parking lot? This is what she said. Quote, things happen, but at the end of the day, we all make mistakes, end quote. Could have happened to anybody, Keith.
Oh, yeah, right. It's just like forgetting your keys in the morning or something. You know, oops, I did it again. I beat up a total stranger and tried to crush their head with a 20-pound pumpkin while I kicked them while they were in the fetal position, presenting no threat whatsoever to me. See, this is, we have, and the judge, the liberal white judge who pronounced this, draconian sentence, of 40 hours of community service over 10 months, and I'm sure when all is said and done, more will be said than done, they won't even do their community service. He said, we must remember that the mission of the juvenile court system is rehabilitation, not punishment, you know, and all of that stuff, all that soul butter, all that Bravo Sierra. Well, also, the practical reason, even if he wanted to do something about it, he would have his hands tied because the Eric Holder-dominated U.S. Justice Department came down with its heavy hand on the Memphis juvenile court system, which in the past has actually punished criminals who happen to be underage, like the miscreants that were involved in this Kroger parking lot episode. But that's not acceptable because the majority of the criminals, at least in a place like Memphis, are black, even the young ones. So now it's hands off of the youngsters, people that are under 18, which means that the memo has now gone out to every violent black gang in Memphis. Basically, let your young members do all the heavy lifting. They're the ones that should be doing the killing. If you want somebody, you know, rubbed out, if you want somebody kneecapped, if you want someone intimidated, beaten up, whatever, just get the younger cadre, the kids under 18, and then basically they'll get a slap on, they'll get 40 hours of community service maybe for doing that. That's pretty good to be able to contract a murder and then get 40 hours of public service, man. You know, what a deal. You know, why didn't the mafia think of this, James?
It's a good question, Keith. Maybe one of our callers has the answer, and we have a few of them now. We'll try to work through. Richard from New Orleans, first in line. Richard, what can we do for you?
good evening, gentlemen, and I hope all is well with yourselves. Yeah, that story is pretty nauseating to hear, and I think a major problem with this social disaster we have is our white, good-hearted white people who have no clue, who want to be decent and quote-unquote a Judeo-Christian and be you know, accepting of everyone. Jesus loves everyone. It's all going to work out. And they don't understand the peril that their own people are in, and they are the biggest obstacle to having anything moved in progress towards this.
Well, you're exactly right. They're the Trojan horse. There is no enemy like a fifth column, and these white liberals are our fifth column. They're more dangerous than any group of outsiders because they're the ones that sell us out.
I think it's more than the fifth columnist. It's our relatives who don't even have a racial clue. They've been so stripped of their racial identity and been so brainwashed into believing that we're all one. Everyone is.
Well, one thing that white people have been famous for throughout history is our ability to assume guilt and empathize with other people. Unfortunately, that particular characteristic, which in certain circumstances can be a great plus. Remember, the Scottish poet Robert Burns famously said, "The greatest gift the gods can give us is to see ourselves as others see us." Well, we do that, unfortunately, to the to our own detriment, to a point of absurdity. We are great at assuming guilt for things we have no guilt for. Meanwhile, other groups are expert at assuming no guilt for any number of things that they should feel guilty about.
And Richard, thank you so much for the call and for making great points. I know you had a little bit of static on the line there, so we're going to let you go, but call back in any time. And I agree with Richard, and I've said it many, many times over the years on this show, and I think even last week, our biggest enemies are certainly not people from other ethnic groups. They're our own people, our own families. And, you know, certainly we fight for them, even if they won't fight for themselves or actively fight against us. But there is certainly a problem in a pathological altruism, as Kevin McDonald calls it, that afflicts our people, that doesn't seem to manifest itself in the hearts
Jared
and minds
Taylor,
of others.
One of our guests tonight, says that also. And basically, we're right. One, liberalism is the modern face of evil. And two, liberalism is a mental disorder. And we need to really take that seriously.
We're going to try to work as many callers as we can. The phone lines are really lighting up. Let's now go, Keith, if we can, to Pete from Iowa, bouncing around from Louisiana to Iowa. Pete, you're on the air with James and Keith.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you clear.
Okay. So, yeah, I was hearing about that story of the CCs. That was what, like 2 months ago, wasn't it?
Right, where they came out of CCs and went to the Kroger parking lot. That was your mob crime here in Memphis, correct?
I mean, I guess with this sort of altruism, I've always, you know, kind of sympathized, you know, with lax sentencing laws because I always imagined myself there, you know, like I wouldn't, if I did something, I wouldn't want to have to go away for too long or go away at all. But do you think that...
That's supposed to be the deterrent effect. You're supposed to not commit the crimes because you do not want to suffer the punishment. That's the way it's all supposed to work.
Anyway, so do you think that the peace can be kept in, like, you know, preventing those type of situations like that happened at CC's from happening again? You know, because what I predict might happen is that, you know, the whites in, you know, Memphis will probably hear, will obviously have heard about this story, and they're not going to patronize or go to those areas anymore. And, you know, they'll just build their own businesses. I mean, I'm not really too familiar with Memphis, but, like, don't miss most of the white population in the eastern part of the county or in the Mississippi side.
That is correct. Yeah,
well, yeah, but then on the other hand, the problem with that strategy, and it's a tried and true strategy that people all over America have used whenever they're confronted with racial minorities becoming a majority in a particular geographic area, is that, as a grandparents used to tell us, you can run, but you can't hide. Or as Uncle Remus himself in Song of the South said, you can't run from trouble, ain't no place that far. Okay, basically what happens is white people go one exit further down the expressway. Yeah. They wind up impoverishing themselves and their families as a result, and you never correct the situation. Our ancestors knew what to do. They had swift, sure punishment for criminal behavior, regardless of whether it was committed by white people, black people, or whatever. And if black people were the predominant group that wound up being punished, it was usually because of the totally non-discriminatory policy that we punish the people that actually commit the crimes. And U.S. Justice Department's statistics show time and again that most of the violent crime in America is caused by 13% of the population that happens to be black.
Pete, thanks so much for the call. We're going to take a caller from California when we come back after these words.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like their green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 Moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Whoa! This is big!
Not just big, it's the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now's the time to stock up with the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguide.com. Hurry, the Giant Factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, before we get to our next caller, I want to go through a couple of very quick announcements because I don't believe I'll have time in the third hour to do so. Number one, I want to thank everyone, again, who contributed all the way back in the third quarter fundraising drive in September. Yes, in September. Your incentive packages will be mailed this coming week. As you know, October was a busy month for yours truly, and sometimes grunt work behind the scenes could be a virtuoso performance. But all those incentive packages, I just hadn't had time to tape one of the incentives. I'm going to get that done this week. They're going to go out. I haven't forgotten about you, and God knows we need you. God knows we need our supporters, and so we always want to make good on those incentives that we offer during each quarterly fundraising drive. If you donated in September, your gifts will go out next week. That being said, Courtney from Alabama, our good friend, who I believe called in either last week or the week before, she sent to me via email this week a very inspirational clip. You know, we're talking about some good news trends and uplifting stories. Anyway, Courtney sent us this clip, We Are Europe. It's a 2 or 3 minute video that's posted at thepoliticalcesspool.org this week. It was posted earlier in the week on the blog. Check it out. It'll definitely stir your spirits. And one more thing before we get to the caller, Keith. This is a story that I wanted to work
in. Let me say this while he's at. Courtney is one of our great bird dogs. She's like a corresponding reporter. And whenever we get any information or suggestion that we run something from Courtney, it's usually solid gold, but it's money in the bank.
That's right.
Almost invariably.
Courtney, Matt the Copperhead, Scoop, you know, they are people, quasi-staff members, if you will.
Our men and women in Havana.
I guess Scoop is staff. Copperhead might as well be. Well, they all might as well be. I mean, not that the pay differs between host, co-host, correspondent. We all get paid the same here in the cesspool. But listen to this, Keith, about Ferguson. And I'll make this quick. We're talking about the black culture manifesting itself in Memphis. Well, certainly manifests itself wherever they predominate. And there are always exceptions to the rule, but the rule still applies. We ran a clip a couple of weeks ago on Ferguson. Blacks going up to this patrol car of an elderly police officer. I'd say he's in his 50s or 60s. Threatening to rape his wife. Now, can you imagine? Can you imagine? But that's what they did. That's not even what I wanted to talk about. What I wanted to talk about, though, was this story I read this week from the New York Times. They are preparing for the grand jury to express its decision on whether or not charges should be filed against the officer who, by all evidence that we've been able to gather, was justified in his shooting of this thug.
Be returned no true bill, as they say.
All of the businesses in Ferguson are going up to St. Louis and investing in plywood. They're basically setting up, preparing for a state of emergency as if a hurricane was going to blow through Ferguson. All the buildings are boarding up their windows. They're doing exercises and training with the police and the National Guard as if it was a natural disaster looming.
And it is.
And about to hit. And it is, but I just couldn't help but notice that, you know, they're preparing for this as if it's somewhat acceptable. They're expecting it. They're getting ready for it. This should never occur. This is a complete violation of the social contract. Listen, when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, you didn't call the police. You know, this is a violation of the social contract above and beyond what the police can handle. I'm all for constitutional sheriffs and the police operating within their legal limits. But this riotous, degenerative behavior is absolutely abominable. It should be put down. Any insurrection should be put down with the strongest possible means of resistance.
Well, look, posse comitatus probably dictates that the police force do it, but the police force can do it and do it very effectively if they have the will to do it. And I hope people are paying very close attention to what's happening in places like Memphis and Ferguson. You know, we heard ad nauseum about in the bad old days of segregation how black people were discriminated against and how the penal system, the chain gang system, was basically just another way that whites discriminated against black people. Now you're seeing the truth. We have anti-discrimination laws. Nobody is discriminating against black people legally, particularly the government. You know, if you really want to be, you know, have hell on earth visited upon you, do that. Nobody does it. Nonetheless, you see that a vast majority of the people who are convicted and charged and convicted of serious violent crime tend to be black people. Now, why is that? Maybe it's because they commit more crime. Maybe they even committed more crime back in the bad old days of segregation. So don't buy into all of this palaver about the bad old days. Quite frankly, the bad old days are just like the present good new days. They're all bad days because violent criminals are not being punished today. At least they were being punished back in the bad old days.
Fred Reed has this statement, then we're going to our caller. It's curious that blacks, the least educated 13% of the population, the least productive, most criminal, and most dependent on governmental charity, should dominate national politics. Yet they do. Virtually everything revolves around what blacks want, demand, do, or can't do. Their power seems without limit. He's absolutely right. Certainly there's a hidden hand giving them this power. But
their weaknesses are all excused, and nothing bad happens to a black person except as a result of white racism.
That's exactly right. They've always got an excuse, and everything that they do that is could possibly be construed to be wrong. Hold on, Keith, you're going to pull this thing. Is justified or excused for some reason. Let's finally go to Dave in California. David, are you still with us?
Oh, sure, yeah. And, man, I just I can't even hardly believe what I heard. You all don't like big banks, right? You ever heard of the LIBOR scandal? The LIBOR scandal is so big, it's called the London Interbank Offering Rate. And if you're trying to allege that blacks are so criminal by nature that they can pull off a scandal as big as the LIBOR, that's laughable. If you look at
we're not saying that. Listen to me closely, okay? And get this straight. Let me tell you. We're not saying that they pull it off by themselves. They do it because there are certain people in charge of the media that control access to the media, control wealth and whatnot, who want to use them to hurt the founding stock of America and the majority population of America.
He said the word diversion. That is true. Pawns would be another one. But you're right about that, David.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what it is. No, the black people aren't doing it by themselves. They have this crazy idea, for example, that the civil rights movement and its successes was the result of black people just linking arms, swinging back and forth, and starting to sing spirituals. Of course, if it were not for Jewish power and influence, none of it would have amounted to a hill of beans. And that's the same thing that's going on now.
Well, the point is that you're getting sidetracked by the bigger scoundrels, and that's the big old bankers who have this LIBOR scandal.
And who are the big old bankers? They're Jewish.
Not always, but there's a whole pack of them that are. But the point
most of them are.
The LIBOR scandal is so big, it's said to be worth $550 trillion. You know,
if there's not
America's deficit at $8 trillion, think of $550 trillion stolen. And these guys are stealing it faster because nobody is doing any prosecuting.
What do you think the Federal Reserve System is? That was the most, organized, widespread theft of money.
1914. Now, if you look at that same 1914 Congress, they were the ones that set it up so that every time we get an increase in our population, we get the same amount of representation, 435 congressmen. A limited number of congressmen when the population is growing, that means taxation without representation. Because this, if you're going to force Congress to be the same size, that's fitting too much in a fat buckle, right? And the idea that they set that up in 1914, the same year they set it up in the Federal Reserve, that meant that Congress was doubly criminal. And so, I find this laughable. If you're trying to claim that blacks are more of a threat to America than the LIBOR scandal, And you talk about the head of the Treasury Department was that David, it was Tim Geithner, right? Geithner had the gall to say that we shouldn't prosecute the LIBOR scandal because it was a local crime that happened in London.
Tim Geithner just happens to be a Jew again, all right?
I don't think he
Jews
is.
Are also the prime. Now, Jews, Jews are almost.
Coward.
Well, look, you need to get Jews on your radar, David, okay? You need to understand who is doing
it. He's Swedish or something like that.
No, he's not. He's Jewish. Take my word for it, okay? And here's the situation. Well, I would, okay? And the situation is those are the same people that are basically on the racial problems as well. They were the without Jewish power and influence, without Jewish media control, without Jewish wealth and organizational ability, the civil rights movement and all the afterwash that we're complaining about would never have amounted to help. Let me tell you, David, that's it.
And we got to take a break. But, David, you're right about one thing. I mean, certainly at the end of the day, blacks are not the biggest problem. I mean, their behavior is something that needs to be discussed, and we discuss it. But anyway, you make good points. We got to take a break.
Right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.